Well, it's such an honour and a privilege to share a few words of encouragement as we start a brand new year. By the way, happy belated new year. My wife and I, we attended Good Life for a number of years before moving overseas. And so you people, you've got such a soft, special space in my heart. And so when Steve Jeffs asked me to share a few thoughts, a few reflective thoughts around my favourite verse, well, I jumped at the opportunity. Now, you might be forgiven for thinking that, look, as a doctor in clinical psychology, of course, his favorite verse is going to be Romans 12, verse 2. You know, don't be conformed to the likeness of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, that's a great one, and I'm all for that, but that's not my favorite verse. Or you might think, oh, the next one is for sure going to be Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. You know, that's the mental health mantra, the one that goes, rejoice in the Lord always. Let me say it again. And, you know, be thankful in all things. Present your requests and make them known to God with thanksgiving. Don't be anxious for anything. You know, whatever you meditate on, make sure it's good stuff. Reflect on the things that are praiseworthy. And if you do, there's a promise tucked away in verse 7 that says, and a peace that surpasses all understanding will guard both your heart and your mind. Now, of course, if there's ever going to be a verse relating to mental health and psychology, surely that's got to be it. And you would be right. I think that's a recipe for good mental health. But the verse that I want to share with you today, which is one of my all-time favorites, is a little bit more obscure, and it's found in the Proverbs. In fact, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. And it talks about the importance of having patience, that patience is even better than being powerful. So let me read it for you from the New Living Translation. It says, better to be patient than powerful, better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Now, if I was to break that down for you, it's simply saying that a person who can discipline themselves, who has self-control, well, they're stronger than a warrior that can conquer a city. Now, I find that verse both encouraging and also a little bit discouraging, if I was to be completely honest. Look, it's encouraging because, hey, if we in 2021 can truly discipline ourselves and have and exercise self-control, hey, woohoo, we're stronger than a warrior. But in the same breath, it's almost discouraging. It's suggesting, yeah, easier for you to conquer a city than it is for you to conquer yourself. And this is so relevant because as we start 2021, this is around about the time that people have kicked off their New Year's resolutions. And chances are, just being honest for a second, chances are your New Year's resolution is the same New Year's resolution that you had last year and possibly even the year before that. Like, why wasn't it achieved yet? Why is it that it's so hard or so challenging for us to exercise self-control, to maintain self-discipline, and ultimately accomplish or achieve our goals? Why is it that change is so hard? A good friend of mine, Pastor Keith Kraft from the States, he's fond of saying, look, change typically doesn't take place until a person hurts enough they have to, or learns enough they want to, or is receiving enough that they're actually able to. But packed into that list of reasons are two different motivations. There's positive motivation and also negative motivation. Negative motivation is where we don't want something in our lives. I'm hurting so much that I have to do something about this. And typically, that's the kind of motivation that most of us use when setting our New Year's resolution. We'll look in front of the mirror and we'll pat our stomach and we'll say to ourselves, I can't have this anymore. I've got to do something about this. So negative motivation is actually good because, well, it gets you to the starting line. But unfortunately, it almost never helps you cross the finishing line. And for that to happen, we need positive motivation. So basically speaking, look, whatever we water in our garden will grow. Whatever we focus our attention on, we'll get more of in our life. So if we're always focusing on what we don't want, we'll simply get more of what we don't want. So we also have to renew our mind and focus on what we do want. What is 2020? one looking like for you? What is it that you desire in the innermost secret pockets of your heart? What do you want as opposed to what you don't want? Because when you have positive motivation, well, the good news is you're able to go the distance. Simply put, discipline is consistency of conduct. But the challenge is, for so many of us, we're not able to consistently maintain the resolution that we put into place. And in fact, according to surveys, by the first week of January, 28% of you will have already quit your New Year's resolution. By the second week of January, 31% will have given up. But the good news is, by the first week of February, a whole 9% of you will be still going, so cheering you on. But like 9%, that's less than 10% of us still going. And it doesn't even mean to say that that 10% will achieve their New Year's resolution. So as you step into 2021, here's a few extra tips for you to consider to help you, like the Apostle Paul, finish the race strong. A number of years ago, my wife and I found ourselves watching a TV series. We don't watch TV series very often, but this is one that you will probably remember yourself. It was the debut of Australia's Biggest Loser. Now, as psychologists, we're interested to see people go on a journey, to have a goal and help achieve their goal. And at the very start, they were interviewed and were asked the important question, why? Not what would you like to accomplish, but why would you like to accomplish it? What's the motivation behind the goal? And so for many of these people who were seeking to lose weight, they said things like, well, I can't even walk up a flight of stairs without feeling like I'm going to have a coronary heart attack, or I don't have the energy to play with my children. In fact, one person said, I can't even have children. By the very end of the series, of course, these people had accomplished amazing feats. They had lost so much weight. But then the host asked them that very same question. Why would you like to continue losing weight like they needed to? And their answers amazed me. One person said, because I want to live a long, healthy life. Another person said, I want to run down the beach and have the energy to play with my children. And another person said, because, well, I want to have children. And so I turned to my wife and I said, I don't know if you picked it, but this isn't just boot camp and starving yourself. There's a renewing of motivation, a renewing of the mind that's taken place here. They've gone from 100% negative motivation, I can't do this, I can't have this, to what they do want. I want to live the best possible life. This is what I do want. That right there is positive motivation. It's actually a great metaphor for our spiritual lives. Oftentimes, we'll start the new year and we'll think, this is the year, I'm gonna read my Bible more, I'm gonna commit to praying more, but stop for a moment and ask yourself, why? Oftentimes, you might even find, well, because that's the right thing to do is the answer. But unfortunately, obligation only leads to behavioral compliance. You'll do it for a short little while, and then just like with most New Year's resolutions, it'll fall by the wayside. But if you have a burning desire in your heart, because I want to draw closer to God, I want to enhance my relationship, not out of some religious obligation, but out of positive motivation, that's what will help sustain you. That right there leads to behavioral transformation. When embarking upon any journey of change, there are always stages that we need to pass through. We call them actually the stages of readiness for change. Let me unpack them really quick for you. The first stage is called pre-contemplation. In other words, you're not even thinking about change. In other words, it's not my problem, it's their problem. They're the ones that are supposed to change. But after a while, you'll come to the realization, no, actually, if I want things to improve in my life, I've actually got to take responsibility. I'm part and parcel of the equation. I need to do some changing as well. And so we enter into the next phase, which is called contemplation, where I'm actually thinking about change. But please note, no change has actually taken place yet. I'm just, you know, thinking about it. But then I'll go into the next stage, which is I'm going to do something. I'm going to make that New Year's resolution. I'm going to absolutely change. And so we go into preparedness or preparing to change. And if your New Year's resolution is to get fit and healthy in 2021, well, you might even go down to the shop and get the latest sports shoes and the latest spandex, and you look good. Like, you are ready to step into the gym. But please note, you have not yet stepped one foot into the gym. You're just preparing for change. Or for you, it might be, I'm going to go running. And so sure enough, on January 1, well, that's the date that change takes place, right? And so you go running, and now you've entered into stage 4 called change. And it was a great experience. Okay, mixed, you know, because you came back coughing and spluttering, not COVID, just coughing because your exercise is a strange phenomena. And so you did it. You were triumphant, congratulations. And January 2 rocks along and you're a little stiff and sore, but you're committed to your goal. And so you go out there running once again. And on January 3, you're actually getting into a bit of a groove now. Like, it's not so hard. You're not so stiff and sore anymore. And so you go out running once again. But on January 4th, it's raining. And that was the last day you ever went running, because the fifth and final stage is, of course, maintaining change. In order to go the distance, we have to contemplate, well, what might be some of the obstacles that I'm likely going to face? What are the roadblocks that I might have to overcome along the way? And when I can troubleshoot those in advance, I'm in a much better position to go the distance. Just like it says in the book of Galatians, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Unfortunately, all too often, we put the emphasis on the wrong part of the verse. We just think to ourselves, all right, I've just got to stay the course. As long as I don't give up, then I'm going to bear some good fruit in my life. But the real emphasis should be on weary. Do not grow weary in doing good. Then we'll be able to go the distance. You see, weariness and doing good deeds is just obligation. And as we said before, obligation just leads to short-term behavioral compliance. So let's be energetic this year. Let's go the distance. Remember, a person, a patient person, one who can discipline themselves, they're better than a warrior who can conquer a city. So may 2021 be the year that you conquer yourself for the sake of a kingdom. You are right.